I was watching y'all during the first reading because I was wondering how you were going to react to that reading. Because at the very last line, it says, "And Joshua mowed down Amalek and all his people with the edge of the sword," and you just stood there and went, "Thanks be to God." You know, I'm wondering, I was waiting for some of you, "Thanks be to God?" You know, what does total war and prayer and a merciful God have to do with one another? Well, remember what we said when we did that homily series on just a couple of weeks ago on the Mass. We said, if you want to know what the Old Testament is saying, you always have to read it in light of the New Testament. You always have to read it as being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the fathers of the church would always read this reading allegorically. You know, Amalek was a king who was literally trying to destroy the people of Israel. He was going out, and he was particularly going after the stragglers, the weak, children, those who were on the edge of the crowd. And he was trying to destroy the whole people by killing the people on the outside and then going towards the heart. And that's actually a very good analogy of what sin does, right? Sin comes at us, the devil comes at us at our weakest point so that he can bring down everything inside of us. So the fathers of the church always read that Amalek was were the forces against God. They were sin. And like any sin, it has to be totally destroyed. Notice who's doing the battle. It's Joshua. Do you remember what Joshua's name is in Greek? Jesus. Jesus is in charge of this battle to wipe out sin totally and for all time. So what's happening with Moses and Aaron and Ur as they're there? The fathers of the church always read that Moses was the church at prayer. See, Jesus is in charge of the battle, but he gives us space to make a difference. When Moses was able to pray, the battle went well, right? When he was not able to pray, the battle did not go well. Anything that the church wants to do has to be supported by prayer. Anything that we want to do in terms of allowing the gospel into our life has to be supported by prayer. And so Moses, I'm not going to get into this one, but sitting on the rock, Peter, the Pope, that's for another time. That's another homily, but another time. But what about Aaron and Ur, who were supporting the arms? Aaron is a priest, and the church needs good, holy priests who support the church at prayer by their preaching, their teaching, and their celebration of the sacraments. And the fathers of the church, Ur, was a layperson. And the church also needs the support of the laity. You know, we're talking about, in terms of this homily series, this once a year I'm going to be talking about, you know, this year and every year from now on, once a year we're going to be talking about the spirituality or stewardship, time, talent, treasure. And without the support of the laity, without the support for the church, for that mission to worship, that mission to preach, that mission to evangelize, that mission of charity, of caring for the poor, that mission to support the day-to-day working of people. Without it, the church fails in its mission to pray. So last week, we started this homily series on the spirituality of stewardship. We started with the spirituality of thanksgiving. Today will be the spirituality of giving, and next week, the spirituality of service, and then the last week, the spirituality of commitment. Why do we start with the spirituality of thanksgiving? Because there's three principles of Catholic spirituality about stewardship. One is God owns everything. The second is that God gives a place for our stewardship of creation. He has a place he wants us for the purpose of bringing to creation to Christ, of Christifying the world. Not just that he gives it into our power, hey, do what you want with it for a while, it's yours, but for a purpose. And then ultimately, the third is that we're ultimately accountable to God for our stewardship. We begin with thanksgiving because thanksgiving helps us to understand that everything in creation is a gift. It's not earned. You know, that great theologian, Crocodile Dundee, okay? And for the kids who have no idea what I'm talking about, very famous movie in the 1980s about a guy out in the Australian outback, and I'm not going to impose on you my Australian accent. Okay, but he said when the people were fighting, he told one of the characters in the movie, you see that rock over there? That rock has been here for 600 million years. And it's going to be here for 600 million years after you and I are gone. Fighting over it is like two fleas fighting over who owns the dog that they happen to be on. Everything belongs to God. Everything is gift. And so then if we understand that, what is our spirituality? What is our response to the stewardship that we've been given? The stewardship that we've been given is that God creates this ability of ours to participate in this work of Christifying the world, as I said. Pope Francis said it this way, that the Spirit, why do we give to the church? It's to save our soul. Because there is a danger with money. Okay, money is a gift. It is something that is treasure. But the danger is this, that it can occupy the center of our life rather than God. It can be something that somebody lives and dies for. It can be the thing that you make every other decision about. Even if you believe God, about God, in your brain bag. If this is what drives your decisions, it's how we lose our soul. And so we're called as Catholics to support the mission of the church. You know, it's canon law takes what is divine law, what's in the scripture already, and it says as Catholics, we support every one of us, not just me, not just you, but every one of us, even the teenagers among of you who have allowances. All of us are called to support the work of worship, of preaching, of evangelization, of teaching, of charity, of care of the poor. We're all called to do that. So one of the things that I would ask you to think about in this spirituality of thanksgiving is think about the four P's, okay? The first is planned. You know, if we make our giving haphazard, then we're really not doing it purposefully. We're just kind of doing, okay, well, let's see what I have in the wallet today. We're not really thinking about it. And part of it being planned, part of our spirituality of giving in terms of being planned, is that we have to sit back and we have to prayerfully, with our family, with your spouse, with those who are in the family, to say, how are we going to give sacrificially? Part of also then being a priority. Do you remember what the sin of Cain was beside murdering his brother? Before that, why did the Lord reject his gifts? It's because he gave it not with a willing heart, but he picked kind of the second best, right? If we want to live a life of thanksgiving, we give God the first fruits. Before we give anything else, we give to God. We give for his word. By the way, God doesn't need our gifts. But again, it's that space that he creates for us. He wants us to be a part of his Christifying the world. And so for this mission, it's part of that support for the church, for the part of the support of Moses as he lifts his hands up. So making a priority, what if, in terms of my first gifts, when I give that away, then I decide where else that my things are supposed to go. Making it a percentage. Now, I know in Scripture it talks about a tithe. The first 10% belongs to God. That's not exactly what the church teaches. Okay, that scriptural reference is there, and I can tell you, I know many faithful Catholics who really sacrificially give so that they can give 10%. And I also know that there are a lot of those who have come from our Protestant brothers and sisters into full communion with the church who look at Catholics and say, why aren't you giving a 10%? Because that's what they were always used to doing. But I'm not saying, that's not what the church asks. The church asks for each to give according to their means, according to their capacity to give. But part of this is, in fact, reflecting on my income. I do look at my own income and I say, what percentage do I give? And I really look at that tithe. I actually do tithe in terms of my income, in terms of not just to this church, but also to the diocese and other religious organizations. I make a percentage of that. And then I live on the rest. That's, by the way, that can be hard, okay? But I also know that I want to contribute to the mission of this church myself, not just with my time, not just with my talent, but also with my treasure. Also progressive, that every year I look and see, is my giving really sacrificial? You know, I gave that percentage last year. You know, was there an edge to that giving? Or is it pretty comfortable right now? You know, because, and one thing too, as a parish, we have to look at is even if we try to keep a flat budget, as flat as we are, there are things in our parish that will grow by 3% a year. We average that over 10 years. Every year the budget will grow 3% about things that are outside of our capacity, you know, to judge. Which means that if everyone gives that same $25 that they gave 10 years ago, that we have to cut our budget. We have to, you know, decide where in worship do we cut? Where in evangelization do we cut? Where in our staff do we cut? By the way, that was the fourth one. I forgot to provide for the means of those who serve the gospel. Not just priests, but the staff that are here. I can tell you as a parish, until last year, we did not give raises to our staff for 3 years in a row. And I have to tell you that because I think that's unjust. That's not fair to the staff. And I'm surprised they're still working for this parish. But that shows, you know, what their commitment to this parish as well. So I just never want to be in a position where I can't give a meaningful raise to our staff who work for here as well. And so one other thing in terms of plan, we are going to be sending out cards in the mail for you to be considering your giving over the next year. Over 2020. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to be asking you to bring those cards back and make a commitment to the parish about what your annual giving will be. That will also allow our finance council to make budgets that actually are good budgets. You know, not just saying, well, how much money do you think you're going to give this year? And how much money, you know, where do we need to cut? Where do we need to, because we would like to grow the mission. Not just because we want to spend money, but because the world needs us to be effective, professional, and to grow this parish. And so that's part of the reason I come out here this year and ask you to consider this spirituality of giving. But I want to end with a final P. that final P is not progressive or not planned or priority or progressive or percentage, but go back to the beginning, prayer. Without prayer, everything that we're about, our stewardship, our mission, without prayer, it cannot be sustained. Our giving is itself a prayer. Our stewardship is itself a prayer. Our giving of time is itself a prayer. And it's connected to this prayer of thanksgiving as well. So I want to thank you at the end of Mass today. I'm going to ask you to be seated at the end of Mass. And our finance council chairman is going to come and give you an annual report on the parish. Now, I also want to tell our guests, this is the week you came. You came for this Mass, okay? This happens once a year. You came for this Mass. Stick with us at least until the end, okay?